First, giving honor to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is truly the head of my life, to Pastor Evans, to the ministers, to the BBC family. I see you, I thank you, and we are in this together. There is no need right now for some of you to zoom in on my head. There's nothing wrong. I just simply cut my hair. Some of you are looking and wondering about my vest. I know that you're going to probably think that my eyes are blue, but they're not. They're not. There's just the reflection of my sweater. I know that some of you are chuckling and laughing, because what I do know is this: laughter is good, because crying comes without permission. There is a word from God today. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for moving in our lives, seen and unseen. Father God, right now we're asking that you remove me and allow thee to share your word, be a part of your word, and simply be the vessel for your word. Father God, let it prick hearts, let it move minds, and let it move feet. It is in the mighty Jesus' name we pray. Thank God. The scripture that I'm reading will come from John 19, verses 26 through 27. Before I read the scripture, we must understand who John is. John was one of the few people that actually got a nickname from Jesus. Him and James were called sons of thunder. His father was Zebedee. John followed John the Baptist until he was called to follow Jesus in the midst of his preaching. This is John. And so John in 19, 26 through 27, it reads from the King James Version. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. May God have a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his most holy word. He took her home. Well, I recall a time when me and some friends decided that we would go traveling, and they let me drive. And if you know anything about my driving, is I try to get on the road to get off the road. So I was making up plenty of time. I was moving, y'all. I was sitting up there. They fell asleep, and I was hitting them corners. Detour, not a problem. Good. Detour, not a problem. Great. Detour, got this. Rolling. Now we should have been there roughly 8 o'clock. That night. It's now about 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. And my friends then wake up and say, hey, what are you doing? I said, nothing. I'm just trying to get us to where we should be. Well, we shouldn't have been there already, right? Yeah, but see, I ran into a couple of things and I'm trying to figure out how to do it. Well, man, you've been driving all this time? Yeah, I've been driving. Well, I'm confused. I said, well, what are you confused about? My partner looked at me in my face and he says, "Why don't you just turn on your GPS?" So if I had to get a title to this today, it would be simply to turn on your GPS. You see, it's not the typical GPS. You know that GPS, the global positioning system. You know the one that is that satellite, that navigational system used to determine the ground position of an object. I'm not talking about that, not that GPS, but it's a different one. We're talking about the GPS of God positioned to serve. God positioned to serve. You see it right from the beginning, but it happens so fast that we may not be paying attention. It says at the very beginning, it says, When Jesus saw, picture Jesus as we know him on the cross, and he's looking around. It's clear. It says right in the scriptures, when Jesus saw. And if you understand that, that means that Jesus, who's also God is at a different view than anyone else. But if Jesus is on the cross, that means he's elevated. You'll catch that in a little while. That means he's above. You'll catch that in a few. And so that means if he's elevated, if he's above, that means he's at a higher point. So here Jesus saw. He saw at a higher point, at a higher elevation. So did you know this is the first glimpse of satellite image? This is our God. He's seeing the unreal happening, and yet while he's seeing, he's telling us what he saw. This is John's viewpoint. But you see, you're trying to figure out why is it so important about the saw? Well, look at Genesis 31 and 42. It says, if God of my father, the God of Abraham and the fear of Isaac had not been on my side, surely now you would have sent me an empty-handed. But God saw my affliction and the labor of my hands and rebuked you. How about 1 Chronicles 21 and 15 when it says, and God sent the angel to Jerusalem to destroy it. But as he was about to destroy it, the Lord saw, and he relented it from the calamity and said to the angel, it is enough. That's God. That's Jesus. That's a saw. So it's reminding us that he's seeing us. Because remember, he's at a satellite view. He's giving us a glimpse. Then when you move to the other part of the sentence, he says, when the second part of the sentence, when he says, when his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby. Say it again. His mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by. So the question really is, or the statement really is, or the ponderification that one might wonder is this: what position will God see you during your time of stress? You see, because John is watching and God is seeing, and John is caught up in the mist, because John here is seeing his teacher, his brother, his friend, and his God. And in the midst of this, John has a front row view. Position in a stressful moment is powerful. But how do we know this? Because look at 2 Chronicles 20 and 17. It says, you will not need to fight in this battle. Stand firm, hold your position, and see the salvation of the Lord on his behalf. Stand firm in your position. How about some of you still a little confused about that thing called position? What about the woman who had the issue of blood? She did all she could. She was rumbling and getting through all these people only to simply touch the hem of his garment. That's called her position. Position. Next in this God position to serve. You find it kind of funny, kind of unique how when Jesus is specific, when he says, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. Behold here is used twice. If you look it up in Hebrew, you'll find out that it's hin in hinu, which could be spelled H-I-N or H-I-N-N-E-H, which is funny because it means to introduce something. Something new. So, but in our terms, most of us understand it as a transition. Behold your mother. Behold your son. So if you pay attention closely to the words, he's saying introduce something new as you transition. What are we really saying? Before you transition into the last part of your GPS, you have to transition some things. Maybe that's my thought process. Maybe it's the way I perceive things. Maybe it's the way in which I'm going about things. But I must transition in order to get to the next phase where God can move me. But what is that next phase? That's when God says, now I can move you from your transition. Watch this. And from that hour, the disciple took her home. So what did that mean when he took her home? That's when God can move you from the transition into your service. You see, it was understood when he told both of them to behold. In other words, God, Jesus Christ, was telling both of them, I got to transition you into something new, because right now I'm getting ready to leave to return again. But John, I am going to leave her into your hands. Understand, John, she has nothing. She has no money. She has no garments. She has nothing, but I'm going to leave her into your hands. In other words, John, I need you to serve my mother. Mother, I need you to serve my friend. What does that really look like for some of us? Some of us will have to get out of our own shell to serve properly in our GPS. What does serving look like? Serving means I might just simply need to pray. Serving means sometimes I might need it just simply to get out and walk. Serving means when I'm in the line and I notice somebody who just has a frail look in their optokinetics, I turn around and tell the cashier, whatever it is they got in their basket, I will pay for because I'm here to serve. How will you serve? Look at Hebrews 9 and 14 when it says serve the living God. Matthew 6 and 24 when it says you cannot serve God and man. How about Galatians 5 and 13? But through love, serve. Zephaniah 3 and 9, serve God with one accord. One accord. Jesus gave all of us the ultimate GPS, which is your global position to serve. In times like these, Christians must stand firm on their faith, recognize that Jesus is real. Serve like you've never served. Text someone, call someone, send them a letter. Do all that you can to let them know that it is not about me, but it's about the God we serve. If you think I'm playing, just position and think about it for 1 second. He shut down all of the world. I'm not just talking about the United States. I'm not talking about South America, North America. I'm talking about the whole world. You know why? Because he got the whole world in his hand. After all, he is the true GPS. Turn off some things and turn on your GPS.